cannot expropriate stuff. And it's in the GIPC law as well, to protect investors who come in. But I also do say that the important thing is to ensuring that when foreign directors, direct investors come into a country, there's mutuality in the relationship they are formed. For us, it's not just an activity, it's a relationship. And you know all relationships are fraught with problems. Even marriages are fraught with problems.
What are your expectations of this event about the African Caribbean Investment Summit? What do you think people will take away from this event, and what are your expectations?
Well, you know, I mean, I keep saying, when you look at the African plus Caribbean population size, that's about 1.6 billion. That's in itself a very interesting and attractive market to work. Now, years of the ignominious, you know, the ignoble slave trade has separated us, and there is a lot of information asymmetry. So, I mean, I meet people. I was in the Caribbean. This year I've been to Bahamas, Guyana, Barbados, Trinidad and Tobago, trying to bridge the gaps in business and investment and trade. And I recognize the information asymmetry, that sometimes they do not understand what's on the African continent and what the real opportunity is. Secondly, we haven't bridged that physical gap as yet. So, for example, to get to Bahamas, I flew for almost, 19 hours, having to go to Europe and back down. But if I had to fly directly to the Bahamas, it might be some 6-7 hours. And so we need to also bridge that. We need to have our ships go across. I mean, and if you look in history, when Marcus Garvey suggested the Black Star Line, it was to bridge that gap many years after it broke down. We need to reconnect that again, because it's crucial and critical to bridging the gap between that. But that's not all. When you look at Latin America, for example, a great proportion of the Latin American population is also from global Africa. And they're global Africans, as I call them. And if you put that together, it's probably a great proportion of world's population. Now, that is a market that you need to cultivate.
Yofi Grant is the Chief Executive Officer at Ghana Investment Promotion Center. He spoke with me from New York. You are listening to Nightline Africa on the English to Africa service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music sprawl from our collection of music from the continent. But first, the leader of the opposition in the Ugandan parliament has dismissed a statement from the police saying officers only escorted home but did not arrest Robert Kyagulanyi, popularly known as Bobi Wine. Attorney Mathias Mpuuga, who is also a vice chairman of the opposition party National Unity Platform, or NUP, says there's increased security around the residence of Wine, adding that only a few leaders of the NUP are being allowed to visit the home of the opposition party's leader. This after local media reports police officers took Wine from a plane and drove him to his house, where his supporters say he appears to be under house arrest, an accusation the police deny. For more reaction, I reach parliamentarian attorney Mathias Mpuuga.
Well, I actually did not simply visit him. I went to pick him at the airport because I was aware of the maneuvers by the state operators to arrest him, probably brutalize him. So I went all the way with colleagues to pick him from the airport. Want to ensure that he received the dignitary, but also secondly, to really accord him the dignity he deserves as our leader of this struggle. So I've been with him from the airport. Ahead of me, because it was on the tarmac, I only followed the convoy of security operators that picked him and put him in a police van up to his residence, probably 30 kilometers away from the airport.
How did it go when you went to his home? Some people are suggesting he's under house arrest. Others are saying there's nothing like that. He's free to do whatever it is, and that the police just accompanied him home because they are worried that because he has become popular, they could disrupt activities at the airport in Entebbe.
First of all, the Honorable Chairman is not insane that he will disrupt. anything at the airport because the airport is not a theater. Secondly, I left his residence about an hour ago, and all vehicles were searched to ensure that there's not probably in their wisdom escape to go to town. So effectively, he is a person under house arrest. The military is all over his fence, including inside the fence. They are throwing tear gas canisters in the neighborhood to disrupt and ensure that no people come around. Only a few leaders, members of parliament, have been allowed into his residence. So effectively, he's under house arrest. If he's not under house arrest, I challenge the regime to open his gates and allow him free.
Have they given any explanation as to why the security has been increased at his residence?
Of course, I know they wouldn't hazard an explanation because it's the common impunity around their activities. If you were how they have beaten, brutalized, the media journalists have been beaten, their cameras have been broken and confiscated. Many of them, so many journalists have been brutalized, so to ensure that they hide evidence. So the whole idea of impunity is the motivation behind what they do, and they will not explain to anybody, even when asked, why they would come and refuse to decamp from his residence, even when he tried to tell them to leave his compound. First of all, they jumped off his fence because nobody opened for them. And by the time he reached home, there were more than 50 inside his residence.
What did he tell you? What was his reaction seeing all these happening?
Definitely a sense of disappointment and despair as to what a regime can do when it is in this evening. And the unnecessary brutalization of the media because they are capturing public sentiments on the roadside and then capturing the brutalization of the leader. So that kind of thing is very, very disappointing. But he has spoken to a few media people and to the country at large and informed them that this should even motivate the people and the countrymen further about working so hard to ensure that the country is redeemed and that it should be the last time we witness brutalization of citizens and the media just because somebody fears to leave power.
Attorney Mathias Mpuuga is the leader of the opposition in the Ugandan parliament. He spoke with me from the capital, Kampala. Still in Uganda, the state minister of finance for investment and privatization has pushed back against criticism for taking back an ambulance she had donated to the Koboko municipality. Evelyn Anite Kajik says she does not regret her decision to take back the vehicle after residents refused to vote for her in the last general election. Since her action, Kajik says residents are encouraging her to represent them again in the next parliamentary election. Her remarks come after critics said because she was born in neighboring Democratic Republic of Congo, she is not qualified to represent the Koboko municipality. For more reaction about the decision to retrieve the ambulance, I reach Anite Evelyn Kajik in the Ugandan capital, Kampala.
So I was the incumbent member of parliament contesting with men in this position as my second term. I pledged that out of my savings, I was going to buy for them ambulance, and I pledged to buy 3 ambulances. And so I bought 1 ambulance. The regional hospital is like 200 kilometers away from them. Like, and so I said, okay, fine. For us to be able to access the hospital very fast, I am going to make sure that I buy for you, for the case of referrals, buy an ambulance to get our people to move to the regional. Once I handed the ambulance to them, they said, no, we don't need your ambulance because we are not able to pay the driver. We cannot absorb it in the budget of the district. And remember, it was a personal asset. It was not an asset for government. So we cannot maintain your driver. We cannot maintain the ambulance. I said, oh, is that so? They said, yes. I said, can you put it in writing? They gave it to me in writing. And then I said, if in that case, no worries, I'm going to sell my asset.
Some people have been wondering why you took it back, and they're asking whether you regret your action of taking back the ambulance in the first place.
Absolutely, I don't regret my action. The reason is, if I didn't withdraw the ambulance, that means that I would still be servicing the ambulance out of my personal savings. And of course, you know that I'm not their MP anymore. They made a different choice. So I didn't see return on investment. I invested and I knew that I was going to maintain it and my people will be happy had they elected me. Since they didn't elect me, clearly, there was no return on investment. Just as you know, these politicians in Uganda, and including myself, we have to get our personal savings and invest, because politics is highly monetarized. So you have to get your money and invest.
Let me ask you this question, because a lot of people are saying, if you really cared for your people like you said you did, providing that ambulance, which is a lifesaver, and maintaining it should be a kind gesture. Paul said, if you cared about the people, you would have maintained and paid the driver and given them the ambulance to save lives.
Excuse me? Using whose money? Using whose money? I lost the revenue stream. So you wanted me to go and borrow money to be able to maintain the ambulance just because I wanted to feel good? This is not feasible. This is, when you have a revenue stream, you are going to invest in such a thing. It is, you have heard about conditional grant. When you give something to someone, this is happens. I'm happy you're calling from Washington, D.C. Recently, we had a road that we're constructing in Uganda. Just for one single thing, World Bank withdrew their financing for that road. You understand? So if people do not meet the terms and conditions for which you're doing something, I learned it from the Americans, you withdraw it. Recently, they withdrew the World Bank financing just because, what did the Ugandan parliament do? They passed a homosexuality bill. So look here, before anyone thinks of judging me, I want to ask the question, where and how did they expect me to get the financing to support the community after they chose another leader? It wasn't first and foremost my responsibility, okay? It wasn't, and it isn't. But I just thought I should support them, split my revenue stream with them. That is what I did.
Will you ever go back to that community to seek for their...
Let me ask you a question. First of all, the community right now is crying. Everyone knows the good things that I did for them to the extent that they want me to go back and contest. I tell them a simple answer, that look here, guys, you are not grateful. First of all, I am not that kind of politician who goes to tell people lies. I never told lies to my electorate. What I promised, I delivered.
Anita Evelyn Kadjik is Uganda's State Minister of Finance for Investment and Privatization. She spoke with me from the capital, Kampala. In Zambia, a leader of the opposition has petitioned the government to immediately stop all payments and benefits to former President Edgar Lungu until he officially withdraws from active politics. Chilufya Tayali, the leader of the Economic and Equity Party, contends it is a violation of the constitution for Lungu to remain leader of the main opposition party, Patriotic Front, or PF, and still receive payments and benefits as a former president of the Southern African nation. But critics say this is a publicity stunt by Tayali to remain politically relevant. For more about this petition, I reach Chilufya Tayali.
So we have written to the Attorney General that they stop paying former President Edgar Chagwalungu his benefits forthwith and recover the money that they have paid him in the last 2 years or so. Because the law is very clear that a former president can only be paid his benefit if he is no longer active in politics. And mind the word active. And that active has been defined in the constitution. And active, one of the things that they say is that he should not hold a political position or he should not contest an election.
Some people are saying the former president has resigned as the leader of the Patriotic Front Party, and that he has not been active in politics. He has just been exercising on Saturdays, a routine exercise. So they are wondering why you would launch such a petition to the Attorney General seeking for his pension to be halted.
For me, I'm looking at the law. The law is very clear. He has given a letter of resignation to government, and yet he's still holding on a position of president of the Patriotic Front. As we speak, if you go to the records of the Registrar of Societies, you will find Edgar Lungu as president of the Patriotic Front. Now, the Constitution is saying you should not hold a position.
What do you say to those critics who are of the view that you are betraying an ally in former President Edgar Lungu, and that you are being paid by somebody to launch such an attack on him and the Patriotic Front?
Peter, I am paid by everyone. As long as I don't agree or I act contrary to the interests of whichever group, I mean, they accuse me of being paid. In this instance, I am suing the government of Hakainde Hichilema, who are financing Edgar Lungu's political career. So these are the ones that I'm going for, and I'm not betraying Edgar Lungu.
But isn't it his prerogative to decide the timing of when he wants to decide to contest or not? And secondly, let me ask you this. Some people are suggesting that you are making all this noise, so to speak, they said, because you want to remain relevant, or you want people to say that Chilufya Tayali is around, and that being the president of the Economic and Equity Party, nobody knows how many members you have. You are just making, they said, noise to remain relevant in Zambian politics. How do you respond to that?
So what I'm doing, I mean, I have always been relevant, and I'm very relevant in the Zambian politics. You cannot talk about Zambian politics without mentioning Chilufya Tayali. But whatever the case, you have to go to the substance. Is whatever I'm talking about, does it have substance or not? And certainly it has substance because, like I've told you, number one, he said, I am resigning, but he has been and he wants to come out. And yes, you are right to say, I mean, he can choose whenever he wants to come. But the point is, that is deception. That is deception because he knows that he wants to come and contest an election and yet is receiving taxpayers' money. That is deception. If you know that you want to come back, I mean, then just come out. Not to hold back, and then you are being paid. But at the time that is going to come back, what will happen to the money that he would have gotten? And the PF, they're supposed to have a convention. 2 years down the line, they have not had a convention. Why don't they have a convention? Because Edgar Lungu is stopping it. And so for me, I am helping the Zambian people that they shouldn't be deceived by politicians. Politicians must be transparent and they must be decisive. If you want to do something, go for it and don't sit back receiving money and then at the end of the day you say, I want to contest an election. That is deception to me.
Chilufya Tayali is the leader of the Economic and Equity Party. He spoke with me from the Zambian capital, Lusaka. And right now it's time for music from our African collection.
Body, girl, move your body. Dance and move in one. Hilo niamini, yeah, yeah. Na tena niajabu bado mini konawe. Hawamini na baro. Ado, ado. Mdogo, mdogo. Mfimize lengo. Pole, pole.
That was music from the continent. We hope you enjoyed it.
Perseverance, persistence, and power, your royal appearance. I'm so inspired by you. You fed me, you raised me, brought me to my truth. So I'm speaking to my moms today. But every woman got their strong tendencies. It's in the nature to just nurture, to care, and to love, and to pray our enemies away. Hey, and then I gotta speak to my ladies. I love you just to how you swing and you sway. I'm out here vibing to the beats in my bay, and I don't need another high cause I'm just flying away. My baby, give me overdose. Baby, give me overdoses, overdoses, overdoses. Simba, give me overdoses, overdoses, overdoses. Then she give me overdoses, overdoses, overdoses. Hey, mami na liaski ani na kyokwambi na bamba na on my way. Na tafta njia ni ya kuona wewe daima na milele. Overdoses, overdoses. Then she give me overdoses. Take me down, baby, lift me up daily, revive my fancy, oh yeah. I know me, you know, we build a legacy. So I'm grinding and I'm stuck in it, you know how I get it. I pray, I spit, I rest, and then I'm stacking it. And I'm gonna need my account to the life, phone number, the jets. When I get it, I'ma build it, then I spit the dividends. I'm in this clique for more than just a brick. I've been on it since I was 8, 9, 7 on the plate. Got a lot on my chain, so my six is never late. I asked her for her name, then I took her on a date. We've been close ever since, so the focus never hating, no. I know a lot of sketches, they've been waiting. Trying to crush my greatness, but I'm on my patience, bro. My baby, baby, give me all my
day. And Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, including producer Nicole Peters and engineer Peter Handley, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, he who looks for honey must have the courage to face the bees. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. Good evening, Africa.